Thanks. I'm your host, Charles Olson.
I'm Charles Olson.
I'm Rothgar.
I'm Psyking.
I'm Art Vanderhoff.
And this is Mintcast,
the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux.
Welcome to Mintcast, episode 50. I'm Charles Olson. With me tonight is Rothgar. How are you doing, Rothgar?
I'm doing okay, except for recording time a little bit. I'm a little bit tired.
Yeah, this is an unusual time for us, because our guest tonight is Clem Lefebvre, who is the creator of Linux Mint. Good evening, Clem. Or morning.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
thanks for having me on the show.
I'm Harrison.
I'm James.
I'm Scott.
I'm Jalou.
I'm Rob.
And this is Mintcast,
the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux.
Welcome to Mintcast episode 100. I'm Scott, and with me tonight are Rob, James, and Harrison. Welcome to Mintcast episode 145, recorded live on January 21st, 2013, for release sometime later. I'm Scott, and with me on the podcast this week is Rob.
Howdy doody from deep South Texas. How's everybody doing tonight?
I don't think they're going to answer.
Oh, they're not? Oh,
well, maybe in the chat room.
Oh, this is one of those one-way things where we talk and they can't talk back. That's why I like doing this. That's what it is. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Welcome to Mintcast, episode 150. Boy, that is such a nice round number. You'd think that we would have had the good sense to have some kind of special program. Well, wait, we do have a special program tonight. God, I almost forgot. Anyway, today is February 25th in the year 2013, and we're recording live with the Mintcast, episode 150. I'm Rob. And with me on the podcast this week, of course, is my good buddy Scott. And boy, do we have something coming that's interesting tonight. I've been pumping this all night. So now it's really kind of...
Now that the expectations...
Can we deliver it? Can we deliver
it? Now that
it?
Expectations yeah, so. are at a ridiculous level that we can't possibly...
So tell us... Welcome to Mintcast, the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux. This is episode 200. Yay! Recorded live on Sunday, April 27th, 2014. I'm Rob, and with me today on the podcast are Scott and Joe. Welcome back, Joe. Haven't seen you for a dog's age, or haven't seen you at all, actually. Haven't heard you for a dog's age, I should say.
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys. I've been listening. So I know exactly what you've been up to.
This could be a little dicey.
Hello and welcome to Mintcast, the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux. This is episode 250. We made it. We made it, Mom. We did it. Recorded live on Sunday, July 24th, 2016. I'm Isaac, and with me on the podcast this week is Rob.
That was me. I clicked on the button that says turn your voice off, and then I started to talk, and you should never do that. So, you know, I got my cheer in at the beginning, and then I was going to take it. Never mind. It's been that kind of a podcast already. So,
welcome to Mintcast episode 300. That intro was a compilation, as you guys heard, of just about everybody that had been on the show. There's some that we missed, I know, but. It's good stuff. But I'm Leo, and with me today we have Bo.
Episode 300. Oh my gosh.
We made it. I have Tony Hughes.
Hi guys, 300 is go.
I have Tony Watts.
Hey everybody, 300, we made it.
I have Joe.
Hello everybody. 300.
300, yes. And I have a couple of special guests with us today. We have Harrison Kyle.
Hello.
How's it going, Harrison?
Good here, but I managed to make it.
Yes.
I'm glad you made it. It's been a really long time.
And heck yes, it has. And I'm glad that you're here. And we have Rob Hawkins as well.
You know, I don't think this Mintcast thing is going to last long. You know, there's no staying power to it at all. Just
and
saying.
We are recording live on January 13th, 2018. It's so good to have everybody here, and we've got a special show planned for y'all today. And I guess we're just gonna jump right into it. And oh, I almost did. I almost forgot. We also have Ant-Man here with us too.
Hey guys, I finally made it to 300.
Yes. See, I think the reason was you've been floating in the background, just kind of whispering into our ear for a little while, and then you finally made it. And for some reason, it's like I totally just ran over you. But I'm glad that you're here as well.
The Cthulhu of Linux podcasting has been whispering in our ear all this time.
That's seriously. He's probably the guy pulling the strings, and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
Well, let me kind of give you guys a little bit of an intro of what we're going to be doing today, because it's going to be a good bit different. So we have some of the regular show stuff for you, but here's the deal. We have been pretty busy over the past 2 or 3 weeks kind of wrangling all as many of the previous hosts as we possibly can together and just kind of having a chat with them, asking them some of the questions like what have you been doing since you left Mintcast? What are you up to? What kind of things did you have trouble with during the podcast? So we've got some really cool interviews and some really good conversation, but here's the deal. We ended up with over 3 hours of content, so we could not fit that into a show. Well, I don't know. I guess we probably could have if you guys wanted to stay here until like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock or something like that. You know, 4 or 5 hours. We could probably pull that off.
Could have done a marathon.
I might need a nap.
You know what? I think what we're going to do is we're just going to put out one big episode at the end of all of this, and then you can marathon it at your heart's content. But instead of throwing all these interviews back to back, which was, I think that was kind of the original plan, instead, we're going to release one interview every day starting tomorrow, which is Monday, and we're going to try and do that in chronological order. So we're gonna start with the founders, Charles and Rothgar, and then we're just gonna keep going as hosts came onto the show. We're gonna drop their episodes as they came onto the show. So stay tuned. Watch your podcast catcher. It will show up automatically, and all you have to do is press play on those, and you get to hear some of the voices that you may have heard if you're longtime listeners. But if you haven't heard them, definitely listen to them. They are worth the conversation. Those guys, pretty much everybody that we talk to, everybody can hold a really good and interesting conversation. So look forward to that. That's coming. But right now, we have teasers for each of the interviews that we've done, and we've got something special right at the end of all of those teasers as well. So good show. It's going to shape up to be a really good show, so hang in there and check this out. So the first teaser that we have is Charles, and this one deserves a little bit of background. So this is going to be one of the first interviews that you get, and Charles makes a mention of it in the interview itself, but I feel like I would be doing a disservice if I didn't tell you what actually happened. So before we hit this teaser, I wanted to say that we were trying to get Charles and I were trying to get set up on Mumble. I had been using Mumble already, so it was already set up for me. But Charles had never used it that I know of. I think Mumble happened right after he left, so he was having some trouble getting it set up. But we were back and forthing and trying to make it work. And can you hear me? No. Can you hear me now? How about no? And then we kind of got it set up where he was logged in twice. But anyway, so it wasn't working for us, and it didn't seem like it was going to be convenient at all. So unbeknownst to me, he suggests, well, why don't I just call you, and then we can record ourselves in Audacity, and then you can just stitch it together. And I'm like, okay, that'll be all right. And then as we start talking, after we call, after we get hooked up on the phone, we start talking about it, and he's like, this is the way that Rothgar and I used to do it. And I'm like, no way, this is amazing. So this is really just kind of a throwback to how this thing all started. So it was just an amazing, weird happenstance that it worked out that way, but it's just really cool. So anyway, without further ado, here's the teaser for Charles' interview.
It was kind of exciting to finally get Clem, because we hadn't, you know, of course he'd been supporting us the whole way, but we actually got him on, talked to him, interviewed him. I don't remember a single question we asked him, but it was still a pretty exciting interview. You talked about being starstruck. Well, you know, that was us on that episode. I think we had to do it at a weird time, like 2 a.m. or something, because I think he's in Europe, maybe France. I don't remember now. But yeah, that was January 2011 was episode number 50. That was the last one that we hosted. I appeared on a few shows after that once they got going.
And so that interview just keeps going on with that. And it was just amazing to hear him talk about the one time Clem actually made it onto the show. And then with Charles, he and Hrothgar were working together doing a lot of this, and Bo had ended up doing that interview. So what kind of weird stuff happened?
Well, we had a technical problem similar to what you described. We couldn't get it was Mumble. Hrothgar's mic wouldn't work in Mumble. He was able to record himself in Audacity, but for some reason he wasn't able to make the Mumble connection. So he actually ended up calling from his cell phone to a Skype number on my laptop, and then he recorded himself on Audacity on his end, so we were able to match up the audio.
Oh, wow.
Using that there. Yeah, so it was kind of Skype ended up, as much as we hate Microsoft products, Skype ended up being a lifesaver there. I'm sure I could have used some other solution, like Discord maybe. But in any case, I was super nervous interviewing Hrothgar. I definitely let it show, but I was able to clean it up and make it sound really professional. And honestly, the reason why I was so nervous is because he's such a good speaker that I felt like I was listening to a podcast, and I had to kind of like, every time it would come my turn to ask a question, I kind of had to go, oh yeah, this is a real thing. I'm really talking to him. I need to come up with something to say. But I just was getting so just engrossed in what he was saying. I was a listener. I was like a Mintcast listener again, and forgot that I was conducting an interview. But it turned out great because he is such a professional.
That's awesome.
The very first episode, I had a friend that listened to it, and he told me, he's like, "Hey, you sounded really weird." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, we couldn't find a time to record, so I literally did it like in my bedroom, like under a blanket with my wife sleeping. Like I didn't want to wake anyone up. It was like the middle of the night, and I was just like, I need to do this thing. And Charles and I were like, we said we're going to record our parts, and I need to get this out there. And so like just finding the time was just kind of hard, and then not realizing like how much effort goes into a podcast with trying to make it sound good, like trying to make the audio levels right.
Oh man, yeah, and you're not joking. He's a really good speaker. And as I was listening to the audio to try and clip down what I wanted for this, I was laughing too. So, man, yeah, you're not kidding. He's good stuff. And then Psy King also. He was only on for just a couple of episodes, I think. His is a bit of a shorter interview, but Tony Watts had headed that one up. So any kind of weird anything happened between you and him?
Yeah, no, not really, other than like you said, the conversation was, you know, maybe 10 minutes. And it's kind of funny because at that point we were realizing we had a lot of audio, which is a good problem to have. But I'm thinking, okay, some of these interviews can probably be, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So we chatted for about 10 minutes and I cut the recording. Well, you know, lo and behold, now we're going to kind of release in segments and stuff. So his ended up being a lot shorter than the rest. But that's why we were running into what was looking like a really long episode. Otherwise, it was kind of interesting because I had, as we were emailing back and forth, told him we would probably talk on Mumble. And if he was set up to record in Audacity, we would do that. It had been a long time since he'd really done podcast recording, so he wasn't set up with a mic and all that good stuff for the Audacity part, and he had never used Mumble. But it worked out. He got on using Mumble and just, you know, talking into the laptop microphone, and I saved the recording in Mumble, and so we did it that way. But he also shared, you know, that they used to talk live and record in Audacity, and I told him we were still doing that. I mentioned I was talking to him on Mint, and I didn't hear it. When I listened back to the recording, he said, "Yeah, me too," and I had missed that. But he is still using Mint this time later. So in his case, that hasn't changed. But yeah, it was cool talking to him for a few minutes. It was we could have talked longer if I thought that we might have been able to use all of it.
I guess I still am. I prefer to be like digging around in the guts of the system and doing weird things with the system. And back then, like 10 years ago, it was quite popular to be doing distro surfing, just trying out different distributions. And I think one of the first episodes that I actually contributed, I had like a whole thing. How would you partition your disk so that you could use two different operating systems that share the same home partition?
And his was really cool because he's a really technical guy. So his interview kind of goes into why he did all that and why he still stays technical. So that's a really good interview too. And then after this, we had Rob's interview at least slated, and there were a couple of things in Rob's interview. I'm not going to spoil this one, but it took every fiber in my being not to make the spot that you're about to hear not the Canterbury Project part. It had me laughing so much, and you know, obviously Scott too. But
can we take that part out, please?
it's too late, it's out there now, and I've even got a link, and I'm sorry, but I've got a link in the show notes to the original article that y'all were talking about. So anyway, sorry. yeah, secretly I'm not, but there's a link in there to kind of give you the full backstory of what happened there, but it had me laughing. But anyway,
was this the April Fool's thing?
Yes. Yes. So that's not the spot. You have to go watch, go listen to the interview to get that part of the story. It is a good part of the story. But Tony Watts did this interview as well, right?
I did. And, you know, it was funny when we first started talking and we hit record, and we had been talking for a minute before that. But Rob just starts talking and just hits this cadence right away where I'm like, oh yeah, he's been doing this for a while. You know, I'm kind of almost hypnotized right now,
Rob.
So that
did you feel that as well, Rob? You just kind of stepped back into the shoes.
Well, I felt bad afterwards. Tony had a terrible time getting me to shut up, as I recall.
Rob's the podfather.
It's really.
On a more serious note, though, really, one of the very cool things for some of you folks that may be listening right now, and you don't see a lot of behind the scenes with this transition that happened, but the six of us were in a place where we felt like we had no business doing something like this, and how are we going to pull this off? And, you know, Rob has always really been very, very encouraging and has said, hey, you know, I might have screwed up once or twice too. Don't tell anybody, you know, and let us know it's okay to, you know, you might make a mistake, but it's going to be all right. And you guys got this, and you can do it. And he had some very nice things.
People.
Yeah,
I know. I thought we were all self-made,
but he had some very nice things to say about the direction of the show and so forth, and unsurprisingly continued to really just be very encouraging and keep us moving. And it was a good conversation. We were chatting for, I don't know, 20 minutes plus or something like that. And it just went by in a blink. It was just a really good, really good talk.
The first part of it sounded a little funny, and the longer into the podcast it went, the worse it got, because of the four people on the podcast, there were only two voices actually made it into the final mix. The other two voices were just missing. And so they would go along and somebody would be talking away, and then there'd be, you know, a minute and a half of and then somebody would laugh outrageously, like, that's a great story. Where did you get that story? You know.
And that story had me laughing too. Oh man, that whole interview was really good. And then we also managed to get Joe Ressington on the horn. Actually, he was the very first one. I mean, I think as soon as we started talking about it, there was
what, maybe a couple days go by, and then Tony Hughes comes back and says, all right, I got this interview done, and we were talking like 3 weeks early. So did you have any kind of weird issues going on with that, Tony?
No, actually, it went really smoothly. Obviously, Joe joined me on the Mumble recorder, and we recorded in Audacity as well. But I did a backup in Mumble just in case. But it was really good to talk to him. I'd actually had a chat with him a few weeks earlier because he made a comment on one of the earlier shows that we did together about the audio on the show page. So I contacted him, and we ended up having a chat, and he gave us a few tips on cleaning up the audio after each of the shows and stuff like that. So it was great because I'd talked to him fairly recently. It was just like having another chat with him. We talked for a few minutes and then did the interview, which was about 20-25 minutes in total. And then once we switched off the recorder, I ended up talking with him for another hour. And he decided he had a problem with his audio at his side. So he said, could he edit the audio? So he ended up cleaning up both the tracks on Audacity and posting them back onto the into the drive for me to mix and truncate. So most of the audio editing of that interview is down to Joe. So it was a great interview, really, really great. And Joe's a great guy to talk to.
Really just sort of engaging with the community and getting feedback saying that they were happy to have me on. I mean, I had my fair share of people saying, oh, not this English bloke, oh, we don't like him. But getting people saying, I really liked that episode, or that was a really interesting topic that you covered, or whatever, that makes it really rewarding, I think. Yeah, it's kind of gratifying to get negative feedback as well, because that means that at least people are listening, and at least you're provoking some sort of reaction, even if it's a negative one. It's better than just talking out into the ether and getting nothing back.
I think that last little bit is exactly Joe. But you were talking about the time that he had commented on one of our shows, and yeah, that was the time that he accused us of being AM radio, right?
yeah. He's a great guy, and he commented, but in his comment he said, look, if you want any help, contact me,
which is absolutely what
I did. And he gave me a load of help. You know, we spoke for an hour and a half that time.
Yeah,
and he's great.
And we can thank both Rob and Joe for kind of where we're at now, quality wise, on the show. That's where all of our help came from, and I think we're sounding really good at this point.
Yeah, it's been good, and thanks again, Joe. I'm sorry you couldn't join us tonight, but I know you're elsewhere.
He's busy. He's got podcast upon podcast to be doing.
Yeah.
And then we have Isaac on the last of our pre-recorded interview list, and Bo did that one as well.
Yeah, it's funny. You talked about the clip you played of Joe Rez, where he's talking about getting a negative reaction is still a good thing, because at least you know that people are listening or giving you some sort of reaction. Isaac actually brought that up in our interview about Joe and how that was one of his philosophies. So that was a really good clip to play before this one. I volunteered for Isaac because I thought we kind of had a similar personality. I thought we'd click well. And it was true. Like I mentioned that I was nervous with Rothgar, but I wasn't nervous at all with Isaac. It was just, felt like talking to, one of my buddies. And I think the interview went on way too long and I had to condense it down and cut out a ton. But in the end, I think it was a really compelling interview, and I'm really glad to have done it. Isaac did a really good job. No technical issues. It was just straightforward, mint to mint.
I told Rob I'd like to do, I want to be more informative to the user, whether or not I knew what the hell I was talking about or not. It's a whole other ballgame. But, but the idea was just go down these rabbit holes, these deep dives that most folks don't want to do or aren't for sure on how to do it, and just do it, you know? And so we started looking at Arch Linux, became one of those. And we just started taking dives into Arch Linux. And then once we got pretty good with Arch Linux, we took a shot at Linux from scratch. And we just started, just kept doing it over and over. And
that was good, because he continues on about just kind of the technical stuff that they dove into. And compelling is the word. That was a really good interview. I loved listening to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things I pulled away from his interview was that in doing Mintcast and just, you know, maybe anything you're working on, any project you're working on, is to try to challenge yourself and to figure out what the next thing that's going to challenge you in this endeavor is going to be. So yeah, really, really compelling interview.
For sure. And I know Harrison is a little bit more in the mix, but we have him here with us live. So we figured we would just live fire a bunch of questions at him and try to put him on the spot over and over and over again as much as we could. But yeah, so Harrison, again, thanks for coming on to the show.
No problem. I don't know quite how I'm going to follow all that's just here goes.
don't worry. I picked really, really good things. I can guarantee you I can edit out a good gem of Harrison and then just put that on the internet to live in all for all of eternity. It'll be great.
Okay. I hope.
Yeah. Well, we will. I guarantee it. But I guess I'll start with the first question, because we had kind of a list of questions that we were kind of mandating that we asked to absolutely everybody, so we could kind of get everybody's views on what's going on. But one of the very first questions that we had asked to all of the hosts was, when did you start? Around, you don't have to get the episode right or anything, but around when did you start on Mintcast?
Well, I started listening to Mintcast around episode 27, I think it was. I actually came across it while, this is before I got into Linux big time. I had iTunes installed on some computer, and they had a podcast library, and I was looking through for all the technical ones, and Mintcast came up, and I found it interesting, so I would legally borrow my mom's MP3 player. And when I mean legally borrow, it's kind of like it became my MP3 player after a while. And I'd load up Mintcast episodes onto it, and while mowing the lawn, I'd put earbuds underneath my hearing protection. And I had 3 acres of lawn to mow at my grandparents' place, and about 3 acres of lawn to mow where I, well, even now live. And so that gave me a lot of time to listen. So I had various episodes, various podcasts I would listen to, and so that's how I started on Mintcast. The first episode I was ever a part of was episode 47, or 46. Charles and Rothgar interviewed me, or maybe it was just, you know, it was both of them, I think. Or no, it was Charles and Syking who interviewed me. And so that's how I got started with the production side of Mintcast. And then when Charles and Rothgar stepped down, James and I did episode 51, which is the episode that I tell everyone was my first podcast that I did, and the first podcast episode I did, and also the worst episode of Mintcast ever. Like, yeah, it was pretty terrible. Like, when I listened to what it was versus what it is now. Like, it's because of Mintcast that I'm capable now of speaking without a lot of vocal pauses, being those ums and uhs. I've gotten a lot better at speaking without using those. Now I'm self-conscious of it, so now I'm using them again. But I've yeah. become a much better speaker because of Mintcast.
Harrison, do you remember the topic of that, how to speak of episode 51?
Linux games. And basically, I had just gotten into Flight Gear, so I thought it was a great idea to just talk about it. And like, the episode lasted 13 minutes. It was very short.
And that's also the topic of the first episode of that the new six are doing, was gaming on Linux.
Wow, okay. So history repeats itself.
It does indeed.
It
comes
sure
right
did
back with... around.
Yeah, with DXVK and Lutris and all that kind of crazy
Proton.
Stuff. Yeah, and what? Yeah, something about Mintcast just keeps bringing these things back up, and it's just the most serendipitous stuff you'll ever run into. But it just blows my mind.
You know what it is? We say we like to use Linux to get things done, but you see what happens. The first chance we get to talk, we really are telling everybody about how much we like to goof off.
That's true. Yep, that's exactly right.
Something else to notice. I'm 22 years old right now. I just turned 22 on December 30th. And when I first started Mintcast,
whoa,
I was 14.
I don't know why they let me on the podcast. I really don't understand what was possessing Holy anyone cow. To allow a 14-year-old wow. to do anything. So,
I have to tell a story on Harrison here. And Harrison, I don't know if you remember this, but you remember in the early days, you used to record. It had to be in your basement or someplace, but it was you were sitting beside the furnace anyway, and so we were always on you about the noise, and then we would do these planning sessions or editing session. I don't remember what it was we did, but we did them in the evening, central time. And so it was fairly late, Eastern time would have been, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock. And I remember clear as anything being on, I don't think it was Mumble. I think we were on Skype or on something, and talking to your dad about, well, we really need to move these sessions to some other time because this is just too late. I think it was Tuesday nights or something, and it was late. And you know, you at school the next day, and he was upset that you were staying up too late. So and my apologies for embarrassing you, but it's a memory that holds a fond place in my mind that your dad was worried about you hanging out with these weird people on the internet and late at night.
Talking about some hacker thing too, huh?
He was very understanding of my late podcasting obsession of the day. But yeah, I do remember that.
He really was.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, Rothgar just joined in.
Hello, hello.
Hey, yeah, there we are.
Yeah, so I wanted to, I saw you pop on, but I was going to wait until we finished up the last little bit of that one, but...
I thought I'd interrupt.
Yeah, of course, why not? Why not? This is the episode to do it, honestly. But, so we have a third special guest, and this is Rothgar. So, welcome to the show, Rothgar.
Hey, thanks. I can't stay on long, but I just wanted to jump on and say congrats on the 300 episodes, and wanted to hear some familiar voices, so this is great.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you for the well wishes. I really do appreciate that. And I'm glad we're kind of carrying on the torch. I told Charles the same thing, but I never got to talk to you. But yeah, this is, I'm very thankful for what you and Charles and really the whole crew have created.
It's definitely been a team effort throughout the years. I mean, there's been so many people, obviously from, you know, people in this channel right now and, you know, just the history of 300 episodes, how many people have actually touched it. And it's crazy hearing, you know, stories of, you know, throughout the ages, you know, from 14 to 22. And it's just like, we've all kind of like grown with this and it was a part of us as a project that we did. So it's really cool just to hear how it impacted people.
And I'm really excited to hear some of that. I have some of that impact on myself as well. Sorry,
yeah,
Harrison,
if I could jump in here. I just want to say, I think I may have been on one episode with you, Rothgar. Or this is probably the first episode where we are both on the episode at the same time. But I just want to say thanks for putting up that YouTube video series about Myth TV. Must have been 9 years ago, because I finally have a working Myth TV after all this time. And it's taken me forever to get it working, but I finally have a working Myth TV thanks to Rothgar's inspiration from his YouTube Myth TV series.
Oh, that's great. That's another project that's fond in my memories of things I've spent way too many late nights and weekends on.
Hold up just 1 second here. Can somebody explain what Myth TV is?
It's a open source personal video recording software. It basically uses a capture card plugged into a PCI or a PCIe port and records live TV over the air so you can watch it at a later date. It also does commercial flagging, which is amazing, and also does video transcoding and can save to DVDs and CDs.
Cool.
And Rothgar, I guess you just can't stop helping people. Even after you created something 8 years ago, you just can't help it.
Well, I've been given so much help learning all that stuff to begin with. I just try to give back sometimes.
And I think that's why we're all here now.
I'm here for the free food.
Wait, where do they have that?
Yeah, I missed that section.
Is there free food? Isn't there free? Okay. I got to go, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, somebody didn't tell me where the green room was.
Yeah, we need to make a virtual green room.
I think so.
Well, anyway, I'm going to sign off because I need to get back to actually, you know, eating and doing some other family things. But I just thought I'd stop by, say hello to everyone, and congrats on episode 300.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Rothgar.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Awesome. Man, we just can't get away from this episode getting better and better, I swear. So so we have the next question coming up for Harrison, but does somebody want to take it? I just posted it right there at the bottom.
I don't see where you posted it.
Oh, I stuck it right in Mumble.
I've got it. Do you want me to ask it?
Go for it.
Hi. It's Tony H. here, Harrison. What were some of the practicalities that for you were key in producing the regular podcast, particularly when you've got two or more hosts like we've got today?
I don't quite know how to answer that. I was mainly just someone who came by and attempted to provide content. I know that trying to figure out timing with other people and how other people how their conversation style flowed and how to best interface with it was definitely a hard bit to contend with. And I don't know, I in some regards, I think due to my younger age, I didn't quite fully key into that, and I could have been more of a hindrance on some podcasts than others at that time. But I know that conversation styling and how the flow of conversation went was definitely the hardest part about producing a podcast with more than one person.
Thank you. I believe Bo's got the next question.
Yeah, well, the next question would be, what are some of the difficulties of doing a regular podcast? I think you kind of touched on that a little bit. I would want to know what some of the rewarding parts or what have you learned from doing Mintcast or other, you know, podcasting endeavors you may have done.
Well, in terms of difficult, it was, well, two things. Rob alluded to one before, was finding a quiet space in the house for a good chunk of time. And the other part was just doing it regularly. I've always had a problem in life with scheduling and keeping things consistent. And so for me, the hardest part about Mintcast was probably just sticking to it, showing up each week, and remembering, oh, I need to think about this, I need to produce content for this. And that was probably the hardest part about the whole endeavor. Most rewarding, I have a Mintcast t-shirt that albeit is a little dirty, but I think Mom saw mine and she's like, oh, do you have any left? And I messaged Rob, because Rob was the principal one getting them, I think, or he was in charge of sourcing them or producing them. Anyway, and he's like, sure. So I got a second one sent my way. So occasionally I'll see Mom walking around with a Mintcast t-shirt on. And that it doesn't sound like much, but that was I find that the really cool part and kind of the lasting and rewarding piece of the puzzle. Like, I don't have people walk up to me as like, oh, you're the Mintcast guy. Like, I'm like, I live in Quebec. I'm English in a very French province. So like, most probably haven't listened to podcasts. But on occasion, they'll be like, oh, I think I may have had one person say, oh yeah, you do that thing. But I'm mostly more known for my amateur radio endeavors more than my podcasting endeavors.
That's cool, but that's called guerrilla marketing, though, right? So I mean, you're your mom's hooking it up with some advertising for us.
Yeah. I joined Mintcast, and all I got was this T-shirt.
So I'll have you know that T-shirt is an extremely valuable piece of clothing. It's one of only six T-shirts like it ever made in the history of mankind. It's a very restricted and limited edition. So I don't want to see anybody out cutting the grass in that T-shirt.
It's usually us mowing the lawn. So she usually keeps it on during the days where we're not doing any. What's a good example that doesn't sound terrible once I say it? Dirty work? No. There's no good recovery from this sentence. So yeah, I'll let her know that she has one of six, and I have the other one of six. Although it's it was more well-loved than hers.
Yeah, I have one, and Scott has one, and I think James has one as well. I think that's where the six went.
Ooh. So we need Mintcast shirts with crew written across the back so we can have some special ones for ourselves too now. I feel like we need another limited edition.
We're
going to
make sure we're wearing it on the podcast days?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
that
sounds cool.
I'm just glad we don't do a video podcast, man, because I'm looking rough right now.
Yeah, I got a bit of a face for radio, so.
Hey, all right, so we'll hit up that next question. And Tony, hit up that developments question for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Harrison, particularly since you're talking about being on a Mintcast podcast and hosting it during your teenage years and dabbling way back then, things have progressed an awful lot since that time. This may be a bit of a broad question, but what developments in Linux or even developments in technology in general just recently have you been excited about? What's piqued your interest?
Well, one thing is I think when I turned 18 or 19, I got a cell phone, which doesn't sound like much, but after my parents had a cell phone for a while and then they got too expensive for them. Like, this is quite a few years ago. I went out and bought some cell phone because I live right on the border with the United States, but I live in Canada. And I was alluding to this earlier in the pre-show discussion. I have a phone that takes two SIM cards. One of them is Canadian SIM card, the other is an American SIM card. And I can switch back and forth between the two. I have two phone numbers, basically. And so when I'm in the U.S., I have access to – it's on a T-Mobile network, which is really, really horrible in the Adirondacks. Like, you literally have no coverage anywhere. But on occasion, the one time that I broke down in a vehicle and didn't have a radio on me, being an amateur radio operator, I did have coverage on my cell phone, which was nice. But that was just a general technological development. I think in terms of Linux and open source, I've – had servers running in my basement. I've learned through the podcast and just through technical developments from me just learning on my own. I've run my own, like I ran a website for our family reunion last year. I've since taken it down because a bunch of spam bots got to the site, so I don't have an active example to show anyone, but I've learned how to secure copy a file across a network, and like all these little tiny intricate things that don't seem like much, but you realize like not everyone knows how to do this. In terms of applications and stuff like that, I've just in the past 3 weeks actually learned how to use FreeCAD. My brother recently, we wanted to go about having a project to make a new base and reconfigure the whole television system in the family room downstairs. And he drew out a little sketch on what he wanted all the drawer sizes to be and where he wanted it all to go. And then I sat down, looked at it, it's like, oh, this would be a fun project to learn CAD. And so it took me a few days of YouTube videos and Googling and stuff like that. But I now know how to use FreeCAD in its rudimentary stages. And I have a three-dimensional CAD modeling, all in millimeters, of the system that we want to build to put a television on and have drawers for DVDs and screws and all the extra audiovisual boxes that are associated with all that. And we also get to experiment and use some 2-foot-wide pine boards that we have stored in the barn. And yeah, so that's been exciting. I'm still running Linux Mint. I recently updated all but one computer in the house to Linux Mint 19, and it has been running really well. Basically, full disclosure here, when I was recording Mintcast, it was mainly from Ubuntu. I only switched to Mint like full time A when Ubuntu decided to go to Unity, and I couldn't stand it, and B. Basically, after I left the podcast, I was a full-time Mint user, so I find that rather ironic, but that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Hey,
you
were just, that is funny.
You were converted.
transition to Unity was probably the biggest jump in Linux Mint. I think a lot of people, that's their backstory to Linux Mint is, oh, well, Ubuntu switched to Unity and I hated it, so I switched to Linux Mint. I know that's when I switched.
Yep, that was what picked me up as well. But I mean, Linux Mint is based on Ubuntu, so you're basically just a hair or a freckle away from being full on Ubuntu anyway. So we're still one big
fan. Yeah, I ran LMD for a while, and that was pretty cool. But then I guess I didn't get the memo to switch package repositories in time, and basically GNOME 3 got dumped on my desktop, and I hadn't a clue what I was doing, and it was weird. Oof. And I just wanted to scream and run away, so I went back to an Ubuntu based Linux Mint as opposed to the Debian based Linux Mint.
I don't blame you,
but I've heard good things about LMD, but the biggest drawback is they don't have PPAs, which are the handiest thing out there if you really don't want to scratch your brain and compile from source. I have compiled Flight Gear from source, and that's fun, but I've decided that I want to use my computer more for work and less for development.
I definitely understand. I do Mesa from a PPA. Yeah, I'm not trying to deal with that. Mesa can break your computer already. Compiling it yourself and trying to install it yourself is going to make it even worse. For me, anyway.
Yeah. I think there's another question coming up.
I've got a question for you. Yeah. What made you leave Mintcast? And do you think your time on the show had any impact on you as a person?
Well, I left Mintcast largely due to time constraints, and I didn't really leave as much as I just kind of didn't show up. As I mentioned earlier, I had a problem with scheduling, and also it was usually very late at night because I was the only person in the Eastern time zone at that point. And so when we were recording on Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights, or maybe Monday night. Anyway, it was in the beginning of the week, or late at night. Recording started at 8 Central, which meant they started at 9 Eastern time. And they would go long into the night, and I usually wouldn't get done until midnight. So that is largely why I left the podcast. Also, I didn't feel that I was contributing as much content as I probably could have been. I was tended to be more of a warm body on the later episodes that I was a part of. And the reason or what helped develop me as a person from being on Mintcast, that I'd have to say is it was a confidence booster, and it helped me with my speaking and helped me realize how terrible I sounded in regards to my thought process and how I enunciated my words and how I use vocal modifiers to keep airtime and fill in dead silence. And it's from listening to other people improve their speaking quality that helped me greatly improve the way I spoke and the way I presented myself, and went on to help me in other aspects of life.
It certainly shows.
I remember those shows with you and Scott and James and I. And, you know, thinking back on those, one of the real strengths of that time in Mintcast was the range or the breadth of opinions and experiences that the four of us came in with. You know, if you think about those four people, almost nowhere else would you find, you know, people from such a wide variety of backgrounds all getting together to talk about something. So I think maybe you added more to the show than it feels like you did from your perspective. But I always thought that you brought a unique perspective and a set of opinions that just wouldn't have been there if you had not been on the show. And, you know, it got much less, I don't know what the word is, there was a lot less variety in the kinds of things that happened on the show as the number of hosts dropped off. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. You know, you have continued, I think, to listen to the show occasionally. What do you think
what do you think of the direction that things have taken since when you were on the show?
Unfortunately, I haven't listened to the show as much as I would like to have. But as far as the direction the show has gotten, every time I listen to it, it's always been very enjoyable. I think the last episode I listened to, though, that I can recall was with you and Joe, I think, it was with Isaac. And he had just finished cleaning up from a flooded basement and trying to recover computers, and you were that, trying out BSD, and that was actually in an email that I sent to you shortly after that apparently you didn't get.
I did see that email,
and I asked you how is BSD doing.
I did see that email, yep.
And I think that was the last episode I got around to listening to, and that was back in June. But as far as the show's gone, every time I've come back to it, listened to an episode or two, it's always been interesting, it's always been enjoyable. Unfortunately, I haven't listened to it enough to comment substantially on it. I'd say that it's always been a positive and uplifting experience whenever I come back and listen to an episode.
That's awesome. So, I think I speak for everybody when we say that if you ever feel like you wanna just jump back into this podcasting thing for a single podcast or something like that, you're more than welcome to come back on the show.
I'll keep that in mind. I've actually been wanting to stop by and join the live stream, except every Sunday afternoon that I remember it's always 4 o'clock and it's already gone by. And
oh
yeah,
missed it. I don't know. Sometimes these most recent shows, I think we tend to take it a little long. And if you're, you're on the East Coast,
Quebec Eastern Standard Time right now.
Okay, so you might not miss it. If you do see another 4 o'clock, there's probably still another half hour of show to go. So feel free, and either that or jump in the mumble and kind of banter back and forth with us. I know we'd love to have you.
Yeah, we could always use another host.
Yeah, I told one of the things that came up in mine and Charles' interview was how many people were on the show. And when I told him we started with 6 or 7, we were just kind of bantering back and forth. And I told him, I think we're trying to go for the high score. So, okay. I mean, why not 8?
I'll see if I can drop by some Sunday and come back and discuss what's going on. Perhaps I'll be more prepared than...
Awesome.
As you're counting down to start the recording, I'm frantically opening up Audacity, hitting recording buttons, and hopefully I'll think ahead next time. I installed an SSD in my laptop, and I might actually have to pause the Audacity recording and start moving stuff around, because I divided my SSD in half. Because I wanted to move from Linux Mint 18 to Linux Mint 19, but I didn't want to have to move everything off the drive to put it back on the drive. So I just cut the partition in half, installed a new Linux Mint, moved everything over, and I'm just waiting to delete the old one and expand the new partition. And, yes, that sounds dodgy as anything else, but I have 20 minutes of Audacity recording time left.
Oh wow, so we're coming up to it, all right.
So talk fast, guys, come on, keep it moving.
Yeah, that's it, let's go. Oh wow. So again, Harrison, thank you for coming on the show. I know we all appreciate it, and it's just good to hear your voice again. I've gone through some of the older shows in the archive just to kind of get a feel for what everybody sounded like, and you're not kidding. You've come a long way in terms of speaking, and it really does show.
Thank you for that. If you had said anything else, I would wonder what I've been doing with my life, because I have been consciously thinking about the way I sound and the way I speak, and I've been trying to sound better and do better. I was actually the treasurer of an amateur radio club in Montreal for a year. This was 2 years ago now, and so I'd have to get up and speak about things, and I got a lot of practice public speaking with, and I've definitely had a lot of experience and practice with the speaking and all that. Yeah, Dropbox just gave me a little message here on my laptop saying you can't sync any files until you free up some more disk space.
we're up against it, man.
Yeah.
Well, if something blows up, we have the good bits. Just make sure you save that, and we are golden. And, you know, even if you don't, we have the mumble recording too, so it's not a big deal.
I'll try to get it all saved up for you. I might actually disconnect, save that, and then come back on for the remainder and see if I can set Audacity to record to a different location than my hard drive.
Great. Yeah, we've got a few more minutes. I know the guys wanted to talk a little bit about what we've been doing this week, because we've been pushing off the biweekly wanderings for now. I think it's officially about an hour. We are behind schedule an hour.
No problem.
Thanks, Harrison.
Thanks for interviewing me. it feels interesting to be interviewed.
Absolutely.
I feel somewhat important, or like having this status of being this guy from the past.
You're famous, man. You're famous.
Your name's in the lights.
True.
You got the
T-shirt.
Two
limited edition. Awesome. Well, Harrison, do what you need to do, and I think we're gonna talk a little bit about what the current crew has been doing, and just kind of we'll figure it out from here, because we got a couple things we need to talk about.
I may continue just listening to the live stream then, and because I only have 389 gigabytes of disk space remaining. So wish me luck here.
Yeah, you better save what you got.
Time to go.
You better save. Yeah,
failing now.
All right,
save what you got, just so we don't lose that.
Thanks, Harrison.
I miss these days, Harrison. I really do.
Oh man, this I think this is shaping up to be one of the best episodes.
Do you want to do biweekly wanderings, or should we just round out this episode? I'm game either way.
What do y'all think? I think we're flying by the seat of our pants today anyway. So I'm game for absolutely anything.
I don't mind doing the biweekly wanderings.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Sure, right, why
let's
not?
Let's do it.
Let's dive in.
Mintcast giant size.
Ooh,
issue
yeah.
300, yeah.
Heck yeah.
XL.
So Rob, I'm about to put you on the spot, so think really
Uh-oh.
Quickly.
I try to think, but nothing happens.
Oh, man. Well, I know you hadn't had any time to prepare for it or anything like that, but what have you been doing these past couple of weeks, besides getting interviewed by us, I guess?
Besides getting interviewed by you guys. Well, I have several times over the last little while started into one of these, my mind is kind of blank, these online courses, Coursera courses. And I actually finished one, and I've started about six. And get, 3 weeks into it and don't just run out of time. And so I did one. I've started another one. This one's a little different, though, because it's through work and it's not actually on Coursera. It's a course it's a graduate course that's offered at Brigham Young University, and it's related to what I do at work. And so I'm actually on the hook now to do an online course. And it's killing me. I got to tell you, it's killing me. It's eaten almost all my time because it's a combination of Python programming along with a bunch of numerical optimization stuff with NumPy and SciPy and Matplotlib. And so I'm not understanding most of the basic stuff that they sort of assume you've figured out before you get there. So I'm trying to learn that, and then trying to learn something that the stuff they're actually teaching you as well. So that's been consuming a lot of my 2 weeks. The interesting thing, Mint or Linux wise, is that I have both a Windows box and several Mint boxes floating around in my office here. The one that is working the best for supporting both Python and the Gecko and the optimization stuff is actually my LMDE3 box that is my podcast studio box. So I've got the Anaconda Python installed on it, and it's just working like a champ. Everything's just running really well on it. So that's a testament to doing things with Python on Linux is just a world easier than it seems to be to do the same thing on Windows. It took me quite a while to get my Windows box set up so that it would sort of work. I just came in and just plunked it down in this LMDE box, and boom, away it went, and it just works flawlessly. So that has been really good. And the other thing I've been doing is I'm continuing to be the game master for this Starfinder game that we play weekly on Roll20. So that's a lot of fun. We're having some good times with that. So
awesome! So I have seen Roll20.
Pretty much up to. Yeah, have you seen Roll20?
Yeah, I have.
If you've ever done tabletop role playing games, Dungeons and Dragons, and things like that. This is the new millennium's answer to tabletop role-playing gaming, because you have a virtual tabletop that sits there on your screen, and you roll dice, and you're all on there in a video chat sort of environment, and it's like you're sitting around your living room table playing role-playing games with these other people, and there's people from all over. Well, certainly all over the U.S., but we've got a guy in Malaysia that's playing with us occasionally when he can get time off work. So it is an absolute blast if you ever get a chance to try something like that.
You're just trying to find ways to eat up more of my spare time that I don't have.
Yes, exactly. This chews up a huge amount of time, these role-playing games. If you're a talker and a storyteller, it's right down your alley, because it sort of has some of the aspects of a video game, a fantasy video game, but it's basically a shared storytelling exercise. You're all kind of working together to tell the story, and nobody really knows where the story's going or how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, Roll20 kind of turned, you know, D&D or just regular tabletop into an MMO without the graphics and really, really, really good quest text as long as you have a good GM.
Yeah, the advantage of this over a MMORPG kind of that you would normally play online is the breadth of the kind of thing that can happen. Because when you have a human GM and the whole game basically is happening in your head, anything, literally anything, can happen. And that's what I tell the players, you know, just tell me what you're going to do. And we figure out some way to determine whether or not it works. And there are game mechanics for most of that. And then that's what happens. So you can literally do anything at all that you can think of in the game.
Is this broadcast?
There are people who have started to do these, they call them live play podcasts of D&D games and Pathfinder games and Starfinder. And so you can listen to people play these role-playing games, and they are just hilarious. It's a riot to listen to them play.
I've been trying to remember, because I used to have a roommate, and it was recent, that was watching one on Thursday evenings. That was a D&D role play,
yeah,
and live stream, and then they would turn around and put it out as a podcast, and it was good.
That's on Geek and Sundry. There's one that's a famous one that's been running on Geek and Sundry for a long time, and that GM is just awesome. When you watch him run the game, it's amazing what he does.
They had Vin Diesel on there. They had Will
Wheaton. Oh yeah, because he used to play D&D.
Oh. That's the one with Wesley Crusher with
Will Wheaton. Wheaton.
Yeah,
Will Wheaton that runs that. Yeah. That's a different one than the one I'm thinking of, but that's a good one as well.
I think I'm thinking of both of them then.
Yeah,
but it is on Geek and Sundry, but I can't remember what it was called. And somebody's probably listening to the live cast right now, just screaming the answer out. No, we can't hear you.
So Critical
Critical Role. Yes,
Critical Role is one of them. But the one that Will Wheaton did, there was another name.
Right, because he did a whole bunch of reviews on different games as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they played a wide variety of games other than just RPGs, yeah.
Right.
Awesome.
But yeah, Geek and Sundry was the first one I was thinking of.
Cool stuff. Yeah, I'm going to have to check the Geek and Sundry one out, because I had watched Critical Role before, and they're interesting. And my most favorite and least favorite thing about it is that player characters die, And I love that if a GM will let you die. It's my favorite thing in the world when a character dies. Because it hurts, man. Like, you're invested. And he's gone now. It's so sad.
You want to talk about long podcasts, though.
Oh, yeah. That's what is that? That's like a 30-hour podcast, man.
Well, I think it's like 3 hours a session or something.
Whew. That's good stuff, though.
Yeah, it depends on the way you play it. We play for about 2 hours a week. So our sessions are about 2 hours long. A lot of people play less frequently than that, but play 4 or 5 hour sessions. So it depends on the way that you decide to kind of run it.
Right.
So we'll have to do a Mintcast RPG. That's what we'll have to do.
We're going to have to. Yeah, seriously.
But let's do Shadowrun.
All right.
All right. Well, I wanted to bring in our shadow host, Ant-Man. So I just wanted to throw it to you for a little bit and kind of see what you've been doing for the past couple of weeks, because we'll hear from you every now and then in Discord. And for those of y'all that don't know, Anthony or Ant-Man has kind of been he's been
Silent
with us
partner.
From the yeah he's been with us from the very, very beginning, but never actually came onto the show, and I'm really excited to have him on episode 300, because it's just been really interesting kind of talking to him when we can. So tell us what you've been doing here lately.
Well, lately I've been off work quite a bit, actually off until I guess one where I get a new job, whatever happened first. And so I've had plenty of time to kind of lay around. I haven't done much interest besides talking a lot, of course. But I definitely want to use this time to start learning some open source programs. I've been meaning to learn, really get into Audacity, Blender, and stuff like GIMP as well. I thought that would be pretty cool. And so once I can get those things under my belt, I'd be happy. I'd be really happy than I already. These are some really good projects I've been following over the years, and to really actually be able to use them better would absolutely be awesome. That's what I like. Currently having issues with my T420 ThinkPad that's running Solus. It's just not coming on properly. So that's what I'm going to be working on today. I'm trying to check the RAM and make sure none of them are faulty and go from there to see about getting this thing back on track. And then I have my other laptops that I'm working on as well. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, feed us any of the information that you get from kind of your endeavors trying to fix up that laptop or trying to get Solus to work properly on that laptop. Because I don't know, we always end up with like weird issues that people have. And sometimes we can solve them on the show and sometimes we can't. But it'd be good.
Same laptop that Moss has.
I think he had a T430. Did you say T420?
Yes, T420. See, the problem isn't okay. Solus. I'm having hardware issues. Like I was trying to turn it on a couple of days of it sitting on my table, and it just didn't come on. Only thing that would show up, it would briefly flash the think light, and briefly show the hard drive like it's trying to come on, but then the only indicator that would be on would be the Bluetooth symbol. And so it's been kind of dumb not getting anything on the display. So that's what I'm working on.
Well, first thing you do is pull the hard drive and then start it up and see if it boots to post.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, I know you're on the Discord, so, just throw us those screenshots.
Sure.
So is it booting up and trying to load the OS, or are you not even getting past post with the hard drive plugged in?
I'm not even getting past, like, nothing. Like, the hard drive, you can hear the fan running, and you see the Bluetooth symbol show up, but nothing comes up on the screen. So there's no post, it's not posting anything like that. And it just happened.
No beep code?
There's no beep code or anything. I even took it apart I cleaned it up yesterday, like the fan and whatnot, just to kind of, while I'm in there, go ahead and clean it up. And took everything out. I had to disassemble it, but that's what I did, and it's the same thing. So hopefully what I'm thinking of doing now is testing the RAM. Maybe there's a RAM stick that went bad or something. Maybe I can get some kind of something.
That's just a really common thing. If you can't post, if there's a, you know, a lot of times your hard drive is going bad, it'll just slow down and slow down and slow down, or you'll get really weird problems. But there are occasions where it won't even post. It won't even do anything. And then you unplug the hard drive. Obviously, you're not going to boot to an OS because there's no hard drive. But if it gets past post and is like waiting on you to select a boot device, or if you put in a thumb drive and you can boot to the thumb drive with the hard drive out, then it's a bad hard drive. That's real common, especially in those ThinkPads.
Yeah, and I'm really concerned about that because none of the drives in there are old. I have three drives that are actually in there. The original drive I took out a while back and replaced it with a 1 terabyte, an HDD, you know, a regular hard drive. And then I swapped out the optical drive with a sled that you could put another hard drive in there. That's an SSD. Then I have an M-SATA because it has an M-SATA slot as well. So I have three drives in there. And so.
Man, I would pull.
I took all those out.
It could be. Yeah, I would pull all those out and see what it does, and then maybe you add them one at a time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, just stay in touch with us, and I think
most definitely I will. But yeah, I'm awesome. Glad to have been able to get on. I've definitely been listening to Mintcast for a good at least five years now, so this is definitely a treat.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, hopefully we can keep holding the torch up real high and keep you listening.
Sure. You guys are doing a really good job.
Well, thanks. I know I speak for all of us when I say thanks, man. That's that means a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Leo's getting really good this episode of speaking for all of us, isn't he?
Yeah, heck yeah. Well, also for all of us. I guess I'm up next on this stuff. So I haven't really been doing a whole heck of a lot, to be honest with you. My wife ended up in the hospital earlier this week, so pretty much all of my regular plans were derailed. But I did manage to get this is one of the plans that got derailed until last night. So I went and did the Linux Mint upgrade from 19 to 19.1 on my laptop. On my desktop, I mentioned last show I did just a fresh install, but I figured Bo chides me every time I talk about the upgrade. So I figured, all right, I'll do the upgrade. But I picked the worst day in the world to do the upgrade, which was, last night, the day before our biggest show ever. But I'm happy to report nothing's broken. So the Mint upgrade was awesome. But man, I was biting my fingernails the entire time it was going through that process. And it was pretty quick. But I don't know. I've been burned by enough Windows upgrades that I didn't want to do any upgrade from anywhere. But it worked out really, really well. I was very impressed with the whole process. And then I hadn't done a whole lot of the audio editing for the show up until here just recently. So I got my feet wet with Charles' interview, and then I also did the cuts on all of those little teasers that you heard earlier on in the show. So I'm getting my feet wet. I'm working on it. I think I'm getting I might be good enough to be called almost okay. So I'll take that, and I'll just keep hammering away on the audio. It's been a lot of fun. Turns out I actually kind of like doing that stuff. So that's I don't know how much of an invitation that is to just say, hey, give me all the audio and I'll do it, but I don't know that I would mind too terribly much, to be honest with you.
You did a good job at it, and you're going to have to turn around and teach it to me.
Hey, that's okay. To be honest with you, I don't know that I did a lot of the fancy features, but I spent a lot of time cutting out little bits and pieces of audio and trying to make it. The hardest part is when you're trying to cut out a word or two, where like someone will take a breath. And then they will take another breath later on or something like that. You have to get those lined up to where they sound like one breath. That was seriously the hardest part of doing all that. But it was fun. I really did enjoy it.
The trick to podcasting is to not breathe. Just don't breathe.
I've heard a lot of my breathing. So I'll work on that.
Get a windscreen.
Yeah, I've got one. But I swear it still picks it up.
Add a pop filter.
I got one of those too. I'm just good, man. I breathe loud. Quieter. Maybe that's it. That's the trick. All right. Well, that was really kind of it for me. So, Joe, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, the usual, playing with tablets. I did pick up that Dell Venue 11 Pro 7130 that I've been raving about for the last couple of weeks. Finally broke down and did it, and I'm enjoying it so far. I'm using it to browse the show notes right now and hit up any links that get sent out. And, you know, I'm still using my main laptop for the actual broadcasting, the Audacity and the Mumble. But everything has seemed to work out of the box. I did have an issue with the Bluetooth Wi-Fi module, but it turned out to be a somewhat easy fix, because the write-ups I've read on this device, it was you have to buy a different module to make this work right. And so I did, and I set up the new module before I even loaded Linux on there. And yeah, the Wi-Fi worked great, but no Bluetooth. And I'm like, am I going to have to buy another module? And looking at drivers, downloading drivers, installing drivers, and nothing worked. And so then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to try the old one and see what happens. Turns out the person that had this before me had a non-stock Bluetooth Wi-Fi module in there, and it works perfect with Linux. So everything is all set up now. I mean, the rotation worked out of the box. Touchscreen worked. I got the keyboard with the built-in battery, and other than a small hardware issue with the touchpad click wanting to stick, and I'll take it apart and fix that. But it's all been working great, and I'm loving it so far. And I might use it to replace the set-top box out in the garage if I end up getting the docking station and can get everything working right on there, even if it's just using DisplayLink over USB 3.0. And in order to pay for all of this fun that I'm having, I sold my old laptop to my dad. He said he needed a laptop, and I wanted to give it to him for free. He's like, no, you have to pay me, or I have to pay you for it. So half that is covered there. And I'm also probably going to sell the Dell Venue 8 Pro that I have, but you cannot get Bluetooth working in Linux. So I'm debating on whether I should sell it as is or put Windows back onto it and get everything working first.
Does it have a drawing stylus?
That one does not come with the stylus, but you can buy a stylus for the whole Dell Venue line.
And the stylus would work under Linux?
It should. I don't see why it wouldn't. I don't have one to test, but it should work, and you should be able to. I know I mentioned a couple of applications before where the pressure sensitivity did work under Linux, but you had to, I don't even remember what it was called, Dropegg or something?
I don't recognize that.
Or Toreg? But anyways, yes, there are ways to set up the pressure sensitivity on most tablets. And with as much works on this out of the box, I'm assuming that it would work really well.
All right, we may have to talk after the show.
Okay. And I'm also probably going to sell the Transformer T100 TA that I have. And, you know, it took a lot of setup to get everything working on that one, but really everything works on that one. It's the only problem with it is the bezel is excessively damaged. I did replace the broken screen that was on it, and after that, the screen works great. It's just around the edges you can kind of, you know, see inside. And then during the pre-show, we were talking about a couple of the applications that I was installing onto the 7130, and it's, you know, the setup I normally do on all my devices, and discussing Synergy. And Synergy is basically a virtual KVM that allows you to use two computers but one mouse and keyboard, and you'll just seamlessly scroll from one to the other. And it works really well. I've been using it for years. I even made sure to contribute to those guys because I've been using it for so long. But there is still a free version in the repos for Linux. And the other application that I was installing was X2Go. And I love me some X2Go. I got my server at the house. I will use whatever device I'm on. If I need a heavier back end, I will remote into it, get a full screen. It looks like I'm using the computer in person. It feels that way. It all runs seamlessly as long as I have, you know, at least a semi-decent internet connection. And I can use it like I'm sitting right there in front of it with a mouse and keyboard. And I've been watching CES coverage, and there are some interesting things out. I haven't watched all the coverage yet, but I've been trying to keep up with Linus Tech Tips and Tech Thing and all the stuff that they're putting out on the coverage. And the things that Alienware is doing seems kind of interesting. I mean, I think it was the Alienware 55M or the 51M, and it's a modular laptop that takes graphics cards, or, you know, desktop style graphics cards, and user replaceable, and the CPU is user replaceable, and basically everything in there, you can take this thing apart, put new parts in, and it's a laptop. Oh, and there was one other laptop type device that kind of looked more like a tablet, because the keyboard would come all the way off of it, and all of the hardware is in the back of it. I'm trying to remember the device. I think it was Alienware that was putting that out too, but it looks like a beast. And I'm wondering if it would qualify as a tablet so that I might be able to take it into work. But then I remember, yeah, I'm never going to be able to afford that thing. And that's really all I got.
That Synergy program you mentioned, it actually is cross-platform. You can have Synergy on your Windows and and just move your mouse between both of them.
Yeah, they work between each other. The only thing I haven't found that it works for is Android.
Yeah, I just looked that up. I was going to mention that if it was, but it doesn't look like it's available. But I've used it different distributions of Linux. It works back and forth, and from Windows to Linux, it works back and forth. And apparently Mac. I don't have a Mac to test it on, but apparently there too.
Yeah, it's constantly in use in around my desk, because I got two Linux machines and a Windows box and only one keyboard and mouse, and I just run back and forth from machine to machine, and it really works flawlessly. They went from a version 1.x to 2.x and really bobbled the release, sort of. They, I think, misjudged the features that people were looking for and really annoyed everybody. And so, but they very quickly said, okay, never mind, we're going to go back to 1.x, and y'all just go back there until we're ready to kind of release 2.whatever. So it's really a good product.
The 2 is still available and out there, and it was when they were switching to trying to get a pay model there that they brought in 2, but then 2's functionality wasn't completely there. So they even recommend using the 1 version.
Yeah. 2. The other thing that 2 did is it required that you connect via their servers on the internet. And so that, because what they were trying to do, one of the things that with the 1.x that is a little bit fiddly is you have to get all the IP addresses set just right so that all your machines can talk to each other over the network. And so they said, oh, well, we can do all that stuff for you, and you just connect to our cloud server, and then it will connect all your machines. And as you might expect, the world exploded as soon as they said that every mouse click and keyboard stroke that you were going to issue was going to go through their cloud servers. Oh yeah, we're not worried about that at all. And so that's what they're trying to figure out how to fix.
And it's really popular amongst the multiboxers for video games.
Yeah.
I used to use the recruit a friend feature. You get the 80% XP bonus as long as you're with your recruited friend or whatever in World of Warcraft. And I would just have my recruit a friend account on my laptop and then my main account, and play both characters at the same time for the 80% boost.
I've had problems with it before when playing video games. Like I'll throw so Borderlands up there, and if I forget to turn off the Synergy and I start turning to the left, at a certain point, I lose my mouse.
Yeah, the mouse just goes completely ballistic. I've had the same trouble with DDO. It just goes nuts if you try and play through Synergy with it.
Yeah. I've had the issue where my character just starts spinning, but it usually, like, I'll just hit enough a key, I'll hit a bunch of keys and it'll stop.
You just got to overload it.
Yeah.
Confuse it enough to come back.
Yeah, I generally end up running off a cliff someplace before I can figure out how to get it stopped.
Awesome. And Tony, you had some, you had a few things that you were working on this week too, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying we were starting the podcast and I was kind of just watching a Dell Venue 11 Pro 7130. Something happened. The auction started to come near to close and I blacked out kind of. And next thing I know, I got a notification from eBay that I won the item. So
you won it.
Interesting.
Good. Awesome. did Rob's prediction come true? Was it $100 after you were done?
I got it on the opening price. It was about $110, and that was with the docking station. This is for the i3 model.
Wow, that's so
a good
cool
price.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was. You know, I'm not. I don't know if I'm really in a position where I should be purchasing gear. I know I'm not, but I don't know. It was just kind of an impulse. Anyway, it's on its way. Yeah. So, yeah, that happened while we were talking live. So leading up to this show today, what I was up to, I was actually – this is not tech, but I was – the seat in my car just, you know, broke. Like the frame just kind of snapped on the back support. And so I got a salvage part, and I was trying to get that put in, and then it came time to talk. So I left that right where it was. And so it's driving me crazy, and I wanted to catch my car on fire until it exploded into a ball of flame and I could send it off a cliff. But it's okay. I'm okay now. And so I came in here, and then after dealing with that, trying to jump on, my computer that I normally talk to you guys on for this podcast, I have been talking on Mint 19, and something has gone weird with that installation, and the desktop has kind of started locking up. I didn't think it was a problem because I had been playing around with KDE Neon on another SSD drive. So I had that set up last night and ready to go, tested it. It worked just fine. Well, I get on today and was just struggling with audio issues, and it turned out to be simpler in the sense that it's a known issue that we've talked about a ton with this crew, where Audacity and Mumble couldn't be used at the same time. And no matter what order I tried to start them in or what I tried to do to get around it, it just didn't work out. Right now I'm talking to you guys on Mumble on my phone, and I'm recording into Audacity on the computer, but I could not for the life of me do both at the same time. So I'll be going back to Mint 19, which was my plan anyway, on this SSD, this KDE Neon I was just playing with. I guess about it for me.
Nice. Well, yeah, so at least you got the Dell Venue 11 Pro to kind of make you feel a little bit better about the other two things.
Yeah, I don't know if need is the word I would use for that item, but it's going to be fun.
And for me, it'd be like, you know, when your day goes bad and you just want to sit down and eat a bunch of chocolate ice cream or something like that. For me, it's just like, yeah, another laptop. Let's play with that. And Bo, I've been waiting all show to hear your story about Arch.
Yeah, I've got beef with Joe over Arch. So last, no, definitely you. This Joe, Mintcast Joe.
Oh, my bad.
So last week or the week before, we had our meeting, and I mentioned that I played the sound bumpers for Mintcast on a laptop that was running Arch, and Joe was hassling me about running Arch instead of Linux Mint, and for bragging about running Arch and the whole
I wouldn't do
Arch
that.
By the way, by meme, and so I felt guilty about it. I said, you know what, I'm doing Mintcast. I got two computers in my house. One's running Mint, one's running Arch. I'm gonna get rid of the Arch box, and I'm just gonna have Mint on both. And so the Arch box, I deleted everything, reinstalled Mint, fresh install. Everything's running great. I decide to play Final Fantasy, and I can't get it working. And I start looking at, like, well, what version of NVIDIA did I have on my Archbox versus what I have on the Mint box. Okay, I can get that up to date. It was 410. I can get that the same. I can put in the right PPA and then get that up to 410. Still not working. So then I look, well, what? Maybe it's the version of Proton that Arch is using versus the version of Proton that Mint is using. So then I research that and I get that caught up to date. Seems like everything should work. Nope, no Final Fantasy. Still not working. So finally I'm just like, you know what? Screw Joe. He's not going to take Final Fantasy out of my life. I'm going back to Arch. So I go and I reinstall Arch onto that box and get everything caught up. Get my NVIDIA caught up to the 410. Get my Proton caught up to 316 or whatever it's on. Run Final Fantasy.
Still doesn't
work. I don't know why it doesn't work. You've completely ruined Final Fantasy for me, Joe. I hope you're happy.
I would say I'm sorry, but it'd be a lie.
So when I get it working, I'll report back to you guys next week how I got it working again. But yeah, I got a feeling that it doesn't matter whether it's Mint or Arch. There's something else that's changed that I can't figure out.
Secretly back behind the scenes. Secretly, NVIDIA updated and it broke Final Fantasy.
Well, there was a recent NVIDIA update, but that would have been on, what, 4.36, not 4.10.
3.36? I think 4.15 is the highest right now.
Is it 4.15? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but they had two releases that came out at the same time, and one of them was supposed to be less stable than the other.
We're gonna
maybe I need to back up, because, you know, that is true. That's a really good point. In both cases, I went to the latest release because I wasn't sure what I had on my previous installation. So maybe even on Mint, I went too far. Maybe I need to try a few releases back. Maybe that's the better. That's a good idea. I think I'll try that.
We're gonna create a new segment called Bo's Arch Woes or something like that, and we're gonna follow you every couple of weeks and see what the heck's happened.
Right. Tell Joe to leave me alone. I'll quit screwing stuff up on my desktop.
Well, quit telling everybody you use Arch.
That's the secret.
Hey, man, I got the T-shirt. I don't really have an Arch T-shirt.
Not yet. And Tony Hughes, you've got a few things that you've been working on, and actually someone that helped us out.
Yeah, I don't know whether anyone remembers on the last show we were talking about VirtualBox 6 coming out. And I'd installed it on my main box, and I'd been playing around with a couple of virtual machines that I've got hooked up, and the sound had gone, all choppy, except in the Windows 7 machine that I've got. And after playing around, not having any luck, I suddenly realised that the audio settings in the setup on VirtualBox default to ICH AC97. But if you click on that box, it gives you a couple of options, and one of them was the internal Intel HD audio on my own box. So I just clicked it onto that. Problem solved. Works fine.
It was that easy. Ooh, yeah.
It was that easy. But there was someone in the Mintcast that sent us a message to say that that he had a really complex message about doing all sorts of stuff in the command line and stuff like that. So I'd already fixed it by then, so I sent him a message back and saying it's fixed. But yeah, it was really good. So there's that. I can't particularly bring him up at the moment, just to say who it was, just if you bear with me. Oh, it was Ramsey Jones.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks, Ramsey, for all your hard work. But, yeah, I'd already solved the problem by the time I got the message. And as well as that, sitting here for 2 hours doing the show, or more than 2 hours doing the show, my headphones are getting a little bit hard to wear. So I did a bit of do-it-yourself headphone padding using a couple of pairs of old socks, believe it or not, just to fix them up.
That's ingenuity.
They're great headphones.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit of making with the sewing kit. But apart from that, I've not been doing an awful lot of geeking because I've had a couple of health problems, so it's kind of put a kibosh on doing a lot.
I don't know what the headphones look like, but I'm just picturing white socks with two red stripes around them just on the sides of your head.
Nah, they're gray socks, actually. Nah.
Hey, I just got this picture of, like, you know, like really long and floppy dog ears just kind of hanging off of his headphones.
Oh, no, I've done a really good job. In fact, I'll take a picture of them and I'll put them on the Discord.
Yes, please
so
do.
You can all see them.
I need
them
to see this.
Because I did a really neat job.
Did you use a write-up to do that? Because I know that there's a couple of tutorials online on the proper way to use socks for that.
No. This isn't on the actual headphone itself. This is on the bar that goes across, connecting to the two earpieces. It was just a solid bar, and there was no padding on it. So I've added a bit of padding. It just makes it sit more comfortable.
Cool.
Nice. Well, speaking of 2 hours, we're coming up to that. So have decided to skip our normal innards section. And to be honest with you, I think we were all kind of busy with the interviews and everything else anyway. So we wanted to head straight to our feedback section. Let's head that way. And so in this section, we've got a couple of different things. So one of the things that I had said about the VirtualBox update last time was I wasn't specific enough. I just made a very general statement that VirtualBox doesn't support 32-bit anymore. And that is true, but there's a little bit more to that. The VirtualBox does still support 32-bit guests, but not 32-bit hosts. So as long as you're still running 64-bit host, so you know Linux Mint 19.1 64-bit, then it'll work just fine.
Exactly.
So only the host, the machine that you're installing VirtualBox on, that is the only thing that no longer supports 32-bit. But you can still run 32-bit guests in there just fine. So your VMs can be guests, 32-bit guests, but the machine you're installing VirtualBox on cannot be 32-bit anymore. Now, thanks to Peter Jones for writing in and reminding me I needed to clarify that. So thanks again. And then a little below that, we had Charles Olson. So after I did his interview, I wanted to kind of extend to him, hey, do you want us to shout you out on anything? And he gave me a lot of different links, where to find him, things to read about him, some articles that he had written, you know, back in 2011, 2012, just some really cool stuff. And in the interview, you're going to hear that he had gotten into audiobook production and all that stuff. So there are a couple of audiobooks that you can grab from him on Audible. And we also have, let me get this right. I want to make sure I get this right. But we have his passive income 25 proven business models to make money online. You know, kind of what we're almost doing. But he's done a book called Passive Income that he has graciously given us, it looks like, about 10 codes to get for free. So I wanted to just throw that out there, and outside of just doing it some other kind of way, I just figure if anybody that's listening to the show, just send an email to mintcast@mintcast.org and just let us know you want the passive income book. We'll throw you out a key. So the first 10 people that write into the show asking for that book,
honest there. It's probably going to be the first 4 people.
Yeah, we gotta take these codes.
Yeah, so somebody who would appreciate a passive income book, are they going to have enough energy in them to actually send in something? You know, these are passive people, right?
That is very true, right? So you have to shed your passiveness for about 30 seconds to say, hey,
but then
I want
you can
one.
Go back to the couch afterwards.
Exactly, right? And then and then read that book and then generate more passive income.
I don't know. Sounds like a lot of work to me.
You're probably
the
not
income
wrong.
Is passive.
That's it.
It's just the income that's passive. The people, not necessarily.
That's it.
I'm confused.
So this book is not for you, Rob.
Oh, good. Thanks.
So like I said, the first 10 people, email us at mintcast@mintcast.org and mention the passive income book, and we will in turn send you one of these codes back. And lastly, on our list of things, I like putting these in here just because, you know, we don't have to think really hard about these and we can just feel good. But Justin wrote on mintcast.org, thanks for taking the time to do this. And Justin, you're welcome.
We're active podcasters.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Oh, see, right there. We're going to isolate that, and we're going to keep that, and we're going to use that in all of the shows from now on.
I got to be more careful.
You're being recorded, Rob.
Mama told me not to hang out with people like you, you know.
So then here at the bottom of the show, we've got, don't forget, our next episode will air at 2 p.m. Central Time. I think we'll probably be back on our regular cadence and we'll be back on our regular show topics. And we'll be back to normal on Sunday, January 27th at our normal time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UTC. And then we have one last little announcement. And at the behest of one of the users in the Telegram group, he wanted me to shout out that, hey, we have a Telegram group now. So if anybody wants to join that Telegram group, go to t.me/mintcast with a capital C. I don't know that that makes a difference, but... Mintcast with a capital C, and there'll be a link in there to join our channel where you can back and forth with us, the hosts, or just kind of in between everybody, and it's just going to end up turning into a big old lug anyway. So yeah, feel free, join that up and have a chat with us. And before we leave, we want to make sure to acknowledge some of the people who make Mintcast possible. Firstly, I want to give a special shout out to everybody that that came onto the show. So Harrison and Rob, and anybody that we went in and interviewed. So that would be Charles and Rothgar and Cy King and Rob and Harrison and Joe and Isaac, and that might have been in chronological order too. But a special thanks to everybody that that came onto the show today. And everybody that we interviewed, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my part, and I'm sure everybody else did as well. And I mentioned the Telegram group a second ago. I wanted to give a special shout out to Peter Patterson for running around. He's the one that asked us to create the Telegram group in the first place. But he's also been running around all over the place, putting links to our live feed and putting links to our episode 300 information all over the place, in person, online. He had done a talk and even shouted us out at the end of that thing too. So absolutely thank you for that. And certainly Kay Wisher for the PiCaster, a Raspberry Pi that streams each episode as we record it, the folks at Hacker Public Radio for the mobile server that we're using right now, and the Linux Mint development team for obviously the operating system that I'm using to record on, and that I know some of us are as well.
This has been another episode of the Mintcast podcast. The show notes for this episode are at mintcast.org. You can send us email at mintcast@mintcast.org. You can find more information about Linux Mint at www.linuxmint.com. You can follow both Mintcast and Linux Mint on Twitter, @mintcast and @linux_mint. Thanks to Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com for our theme music, and thanks for listening to this episode of the